on WIXX, Green Bay's Packers radio network station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Scrambles to his right, buying time, takes it himself. He's to the five, to the end zone for the touchdown! Aaron Rodgers just inside the pylon, and the Packers lead it 23-14.
Wayne, and he let the Chicago fans have it after that, didn't he?
Yeah, of course, we couldn't see that from where we were. That was exactly opposite down, you know, probably 100 yards down from where we were. But, you know, that's been the rage ever since. And, by the way, no one on either side of the state line is questioning that statement.
Right?
Yeah, definitely owns the Chicago Bears, for sure.
What a huge victory again, Wayne. Anytime you can have that offensive line kind of pieced together and then the other injuries everywhere and injuries within the game, anytime you can get a win when you're not at 100% with your health and early in the season, these are just huge.
Yeah, they really are, Nick. And we probably, as laymen, don't appreciate them quite as much. You know, you said to yourself, well, the Bears had the rookie quarterback and this, that, and the other thing. The Bears have a good team, and they have a very good defense, and the Packers were able to move the football on that defense when it counted. And, you know, I think it's a huge win because not only the rivalry, but the fact is the opponent's a pretty good opponent. There's no doubt about that. That quarterback's going to get better. We saw enough of him to know that he's going to be a player. You know, one time I thought he was kind of turning into Michael Vick for a second there, you know, the way he was scrambling around and breaking contain on a couple of occasions. But overall, I thought the Packers did a really good job in that game.
Our defense has me slightly confused, Wayne. We took another nice step and seem to every single week, but it's so strange to see the red zone efficiency of this defense, which continues to be a zero. The opposition is literally scoring a touchdown every time they hit our red zone, but we're shutting them down between the 20s. It's so strange. The final score is always really solid.
Well, you remember a few years ago, it was we were shutting them down in the red zone. Couldn't stop them between the 20s. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just the opposite of that. You're right. And it's they were a little better on third down yesterday. The Bears were only 4 of 11. That probably reflecting more of the rookie quarterback than anything else. But in the red zone, you're right. And I think one of those trips, if I'm not mistaken, they had like first and goal to go from the 20 or something like that and still got a touchdown. So, yeah, the red zone defense is concerning. There's no doubt about that. And that situation football, that, you know, red zone and third down, both ways. I thought they were a little better, obviously, in the red zone yesterday offensively. 3 of 4 was the best they've done in the red zone, I think, this year.
Kenny Clark was kind of a force yesterday. He, you know, he got dinged early, but, boy, he came back and he had a hell of a game, didn't he?
You know, it was great to see him. It's almost like he knew. That was that fourth quarter of the game, and Fields is scrambling around. He's making some plays. Like I said, started to remind me a little bit of some of these running quarterbacks we've seen over the years. And then there's Kenny Clark, you know, summoning his best Reggie White in the Super Bowl. Remember when Reggie made two key sacks against the Patriots in Super Bowl 31? Kenny Clark made two big sacks against the Bears that just basically put them away. And it's great to see because, you know, we see sacks, okay? We don't see what he's doing between the tackles, the dirty work, the grunt work, taking up tacklers, blowing up plays. That kind of thing. We don't get to see that a whole lot. We get to see sacks, and we understand that. But it was nice to see Kenny had that kind of a game. He's played, though, guys. He's played just outstanding right from the get-go this season, which is exactly what this defense needed. He's been outstanding. He's been a Pro Bowl player.
You know, the way the guys are going down on defense, I saw this. Somebody made a comment yesterday online. It's got a 2010 defensive vibe to it. Where everybody's going down, and they're doing what they have to do to be successful. But you got a ton of guys that are going down, and the way it works now, who knows? By the end of the year, just like the offense is coming back strong with all the guys who are coming off IR, defense could be the same way.
Yeah, you hope so. You hope that shoulder heals for Jaire Alexander. He's a big key. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith. They need him. They need a little bit more on that pass rush as you get into December. You hope he's able to come back. But, you know, on the offensive line, I'm a little worried about Josh Myers. That injury yesterday didn't look good. I don't know what the diagnosis will be when they do the test today. But, that, you know, those are big things. Thank God for Lucas Patrick. He steps in there, and you know, they really don't miss a beat with him at center. So this team is well constructed. It really is. And they've been able to hold up. And I thought Rasul Douglas, here's a guy, guys, who's been in this league, played a lot of snaps at cornerback, and he comes in, yeah, he's just signed off the street. But, you know, when you look at it, he's got some know-how and was able to go out there and give a good representative effort, and that's what they needed.
There's so much depth on offense, too, Wayne. Devontae obviously should get his due, and Aaron Jones should get his due. But yesterday it was the Lazard, Tonyan, Lewis show, and the week before it was Randall Cobb. And then, you know, you get, of course, Aaron Jones is going to get his catches out of the backfield as well as the runs. A.J. Dillon is, you just don't know where to go as a defense. You got to look around at that roster and just go, they can throw to like 15 different people out here.
Yeah, the things that jumped out to me in that regard is, number one, Jalen Johnson's a top-flight cornerback for Chicago. He shadowed it at Devontae Adams all day. 5 targets, 4 catches for Adams. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers only threw 23 passes. They only called 26 passing plays. But nonetheless, I thought, you know, Jalen Johnson was excellent. And boy, thank goodness they had to get rid of the Fuller kid because of salary cap considerations. If they still had Kyle Fuller and Jalen Johnson with that pass rush, they would be really good defensively. The other factor is this. You're exactly right. They're starting to spread the ball around a little bit. Tonyan is caught a couple of passes. Obviously, Mercedes Lewis. But I thought Lazard, you know, he got in there a little bit with that shovel pass getting into the end zone. Yeah, you have to. These are guys who were all prominent last year, and they're just starting now to get them into the mix. But the other thing that comes to the fore is the running game. And they have a 1-2 punch at running back that I think is, it's really something to behold. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and who's going to want to tackle A.J. Dillon in December when it gets cold? Because that guy runs with authority. He runs with thunder.
It's 721 WIXX Talk of Football with Wayne here on IXX. Quick timeout. More Wayne Larrabee coming up. Stand by.
Back to Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee
on the Murphy in the Morning Show
on WIXX.
Jones gets by Gibson to the 10, cutting left to the 5, to the end zone, leaping in for the touchdown. 12-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Jones, and the Packers increase their lead.
You know, Wayne, the thing about Aaron Jones is not just quickness and speed. He's got some serious power. He dragged some guys yesterday.
You know, Murph, the thing about him that makes him special, he's not a big guy, but he plays bigger than his size. Than whatever his dimensions are in the program, he plays much bigger than that. And you see it in some of the inside runs. I mean, he does not shy away from the tough stuff inside. And we saw that on many occasions yesterday. But really, where he's at his best is when you get him out in space, either via the pass or you get him to bounce a run, maybe cut it back one way or the other. And, you know, that's where he's at his absolute best. But this kid, he has diversity in his game, and that diversity is he's going to go inside, and if he has to drag somebody for a first down, he's going to do it.
You know, we were talking just off air real quickly yesterday in the Packers pregame. James Jones made quite a prediction. You know, you talk about the Bears quarterback, who's pretty solid. It looks like he's got it going on a little bit, but the thing that could stunt him in his growth is the instability of the coaching staff. So if they
called it out.
Yeah. If they would say make a move this year, then it sets him back because he's got to learn again. Then you get another staff that maybe isn't as successful. He said basically when it's all said and done, Jordan Love's career will be better than his based on the stability of the franchise and the way that they're, you know, bringing him up versus having to rush him into the game right away.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. And you're right, the stability of the coaching staff. I think when we look at these quarterbacks who have been drafted high and many of whom have failed, a couple of things come into play. Number one, you know, you could draft in the first or second pick unless somebody traded up and brokered their whole future to get you number three like San Francisco did with its quarterback. You know, most of the time, like Trevor Lawrence went to a bad team, really bad team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times either the offensive coordinator will leave or get fired. Maybe the staff leaves or gets fired, you know, that kind of thing. And now you've learned this system as a rookie. Now you got another system. Pretty soon you're into your third offensive coordinator in a matter of 4 years. And yeah, your head is swimming. And a lot of times these quarterbacks can't survive that. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Chicago. Because you're right, I think the coaching will be a prominent factor in the development of Fields.
It'll be nice to be back home, Wayne. And against an opponent, Washington's going to have to play a little desperate here. It's so strange to say after six games, but they're three games back in their own division. And they need a win. This is almost a must-win for Washington this early in the season. So you know they're going to give you your best and kick and claw and scratch and do whatever they have to do to win this one.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, their defensive front was supposed to be one of the best in the league, and yet teams are moving the football and scoring on them. So I'm a little surprised that Washington haven't had a chance to see them yet, but I'm surprised they are where they are because I thought they'd be a little bit better than that this year.
Well, listen, Wayne, listen, thanks for taking a few minutes. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Okay, bud?
Sounds great, guys. Right, have a good week.
Thank you, sir. 728 WIXX. That'll do it for Talking Football. And